gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant. Or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
In this episode of the Wash Up Walk Over podcast, my good friend and new business partner, question mark, you're going to hear about all that, Keith Duncan joins the show and updates you on the draft process, what that was like for him, how his training was going, where he's at now, what he plans on doing, and a whole lot of interesting conversation in between. It's a cluster. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk Ons fans. Episode 214 of the podcast. Today we have a guest, and from what I just found out, he's Kevin's daddy on the golf course. He's also Jim Harbaugh's daddy, and he's also the true Lou Groza. He's also one of the most snubbed kickers in the history of kicking. Keith, welcome back to the podcast, bud, and I'm glad to hear that you're putting it to Kevin on the golf course. Just carry on the legacy of everybody else.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back.
I didn't know we were recording.
I didn't know we were recording, so I wouldn't have come after Kevin like that. I only come after Gervais like that because he likes going on social media. But yeah, I'm glad to be back. It's fun to be back, and yeah.
Real ass born.
That makes four of us that love to shit on Gervais on this podcast.
Yeah. Right
now. So it's so easy.
Well, I mean, all of Twitter likes to shit on Gervais. You know, he had a little hot take a few months back, and I don't know if he's tweeted since.
No, I don't think he has.
He's on a cold streak.
What a bitch. He got flamed on Twitter for one thing. Dude, after I got beat up for the ISM thing, I was talking to everybody. And everybody that's been a teammate of mine just went, well, of course, you're Kluver, and all you do is tweet. And what I would say to that is, fuck you. But Gervais got ran out of town, man. Dude.
Hate us.
You
know, he can suck it, dude. Real ass born... Not really bread. Does bread mean born, or is that also – I was going to say Texan. Like, you're a Texan. We just found that out, too. I knew that, but
– Yep, born and raised
you
there.
You seem kind of fake, though, of a Texan, because you claim North Carolina up until this very moment that I've met you.
Okay, so, like, how would you do that? Like, I moved to North Carolina, like, in high school.
Oh, you're a fucking Texan, then.
Which means you're a Texan to the absolute core.
I think some of my most formative years were in North Carolina.
Yeah, but you spent 4 years there, and it's because your mom got a job. Like,
Dad.
Okay, your dad got a job. Like, you were born and raised through and through. Like, your favorite human being besides your parents is George W. Bush, correct?
And George Strait.
You're a fucking Texan, Dad.
You said, and George Strait?
Oh. Yeah. I mean, I claim.
Both. I mean, I'm just gonna say that you're both a hillbilly and a redneck.
That's a compliment, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I thought everything was bigger in Texas. Dude, you're small, man.
I am very small.
I'm small, but you're small.
I mean, it does not help also just sitting next to Wirfs on field goal, so that's not cool either.
No.
But I think I'm an average human being in the state in the United States of America.
I don't think you are, though.
No.
I think so.
Height-wise, maybe, but weight-wise? Dude, you can't be one. No, you, dude, you could still technically run the ball for the third-grade Little League.
Okay, if they're I'm not
the 129 cutoff, you're way underneath.
Yeah, I'm 186.
Oh. You're 186?
Yeah.
With 2.5 pound plates in your pants?
Pound for pound, heavy squatter, and the Iowa football program.
Did you do the math on it, or are you just talking shit?
Both.
Because there's probably a couple of guys who would beg to differ.
Yeah, you're right. Imani Jones, definitely. Yeah. Who else? Wes is pretty strong pound for pound. Gervais.
A lot of those receivers and DBs that we played with were strong as shit, dude. Like, I want to say Josh Jackson had, like, an elite bench.
Extremely strong.
Dude, I want to say, like, JP, rest in peace to his career after the Tennessee game, and what was that kid's name? He was Solly's friend. What was his name? Receiver? Andre Harris, yeah. They both squatted a lot, I feel like.
Thanks for bringing up everybody that nobody knows.
But they were little like DB receiver types, and they're
sick references, dude. You did a great job.
Okay. Well, I was just trying to be a part of the conversation. Yeah, how did you feel about that tweet by Gervais, Keith? Was there truth to that?
I will say that maybe Twitter was not the best platform for that tweet in Jake's position.
Twitter's not the best platform in any situation.
At all. If you have any, like, I tweet stupid hot takes. Like, I say, like, syrup doesn't belong in the fridge.
Which is true. That's a great take. That's not even hot.
I was going to ask about that. Actually.
Unless it's 100% pure maple syrup, they can go bad. Do not put your Aunt Jemima or your Miss Butterworth in the fridge. You're just garbaggio.
But even then.
I hate that because, like, you can't get it out of the bottle after.
Yeah, what the hell are you doing? Give me some free-flowing syrup.
I got to be honest. I keep it in the fridge.
Of course you do.
God damn it. See, that's why you're.
Of course you do.
But it's like, but let's be honest, I don't even remember the last time I had something that I used syrup on, and it's like Fairway sugar-free syrup that is like thin as shit already, no sugar, 15 calories, like, yeah. But yeah, dude, if I had my choice, I'd
go to Russia, dude. Go Russia? To Russia.
I would do well in Russia.
Yeah, wait, you're just a little Russian bot weirdo that eats sugar-free syrup from the fridge.
Mother Russia.
References kids from 2013.
Hey. That's what, dude, that's the year we came in, bro. Best recruiting class in Iowa history.
Well, the worst recruiting class in Iowa history and the worst of all of our years in the program. So, like, the least referenceable.
Do you think 13 was worse than 14?
Well, we had 1 year more status on the team. We were absolute bugs on the bottom of – or on the fucking people's windshields in 2013. We at least upgraded to you, and you were on the field, and Kevin got to travel. In 2013, you traveled because who knows why, and the rest of us were worthless pieces of shit. So, yeah, 2013, not a great year. And now I had to describe my joke, so the joke is not as funny, but.
Well, for different reasons, I actually enjoyed 13 more.
Okay.
But it is what it is. They got the most bang for their buck out of our class, thanks to Josie and Budgeta. So Keith, you why aren't you in the NFL, dude? Like, why are you here and not on an NFL team? Like, let's talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, as you guys know, it's a hard process. It's the hardest thing is to get in, I guess, and I'm learning that right now. You know, I'd still be happy with the call right now. So if I got a call, I'd go. So we're still waiting, and no comment, no emotional comment on that. But yeah, that's all I have to say, I guess.
The NFL's a ruthless bitch, isn't it, Keith?
That's what it's. I mean, the NFL stands for not for long. So, yeah. I mean, it's a business, and I understand that. And I can't really do anything about it other than just keep working, I guess. So, yeah, it sucks, but at the same time, I can't do anything about it. So I'm trying to make the most out of what I've got going.
How do you feel you did?
Now, have you tried taking steroids? That have helped.
Not yet. I need
well,
to.
Well, then there's something you can do
in particular because it might, you know, leg might get a little longer, torso yep. can create more angular velocity, more linear velocity with the foot through the ball, can create more compression. More compression equals further flight. I don't know. I'm not a physics major, but maybe it'd work.
That sounds right. Maybe the leg speed too, you know, throw that in there and you're good
well,
to
yeah,
go.
That was part of the angular velocity part. I don't know if you listened to that. I mentioned that.
Okay, good. I'll make sure to listen next time.
I definitely didn't pay attention in that fucking class.
I completely zoned out when Drake started talking.
Well, okay. Yeah, I mean, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Sometimes when Drake opens his mouth, it's like in that Marshawn clip when he goes, sensational. Keith.
That was Future, by the way, not Marshawn.
Was it Future? All right, well, that's bad. How did your pro day go and all that and your training leading up to it?
See, that's what was tough about COVID. So teams couldn't fly us out. They couldn't come in. So I know you guys remember from practices, there used to be scouts that came in and watched practices all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We had Elway there, John Lynch sometimes, which is really cool. And do you remember that?
I don't fucking remember Elway being there.
Yeah, he was there. Do you guys not remember that?
I didn't meet John Elway. I would have been pretty starstruck, I think, if I'd have met John
Elway. I remember when Elway was in the building.
You yeah. remember it?
Of course, Kevin.
I remember,
Kevin's just like, yeah, I
He was very low-key, though. He had, like, a hat on and sunglasses and wasn't trying to draw any attention.
Maybe this does ring a bell, actually. I think, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but we didn't have any scouts here this past year. I don't even think the year before because of COVID. We couldn't do any – like, it was just Zoom meetings. So get texts and be like, hey, hop on a Zoom meeting. And you can really only get so much through a kicker over a Zoom meeting.
Yeah.
Like linebackers. Like I room with Nick, and he was Zoom meeting. And they go over schemes and stuff like that. And, you know, we can't do that.
They're like, all right, we wanted you to kick it
right.
through the posts.
Yeah.
So where do you kick it?
Just kick the ball.
I'll just fucking kick the ball, all right? No. Start the fucking period back over again, all right? Put it on the 23 left hash. Fucking unbelievable. All they fucking do, all practice, they come out here, can't hit the broadside of a fucking barn.
And it's actually funny. KF gets really predictable with his spots. And, like, we were at the first spring practice, and the first field goal, I'm like, they're going to be 27 right hash. And guess what? 27 right hash.
Bang.
Extremely predictable, which makes it easy to pick up on. This past year was crazy. My only opportunity to kick in front of scouts was pro day, and I will say I could have done a lot better, so that definitely went into the decision of not getting a call yet. I could have done a lot better, but you know what? That's what it comes down to, and everyone else was dealing with the same thing. So I can't be too upset about it, but at the same time, I am a little upset.
Welcome to the shit your pants on pro day club, pal.
Yeah, yeah.
And Drake's the captain of that team. Dude, at least you got to, like, do your thing. So on our pro day – Doyle, so everybody's got their drills, right? They go through all the drills. And I honestly, I just felt like a nuisance on pro day. Because it's like, oh, we have to, like, throw in an extra 15, 20 minutes for everybody to watch the long snapper. Like, so I was very, like, you know, Doyle was running it at the time. And I was like, okay, coach, what are we going to do here? He's like, let the other guys do their thing. Of course, specialist is going last. That way, whoever wants to bounce from the scouts can bounce. Probably be half of them. And, you know, then the Cowboys scout, who's actually cool, he came over to me, like, in the middle of, like, the second drills or whatever. I think
can
maybe
I interrupt your story for a second?
Sure.
Fuck that Cowboy scout, because he was the one running the linebacker drills.
Mm-hmm.
Me,
yep.
Josie, Ben, and Bo have never been so tired in our goddamn lives. Fuck that guy. Continue.
I think that might have been by design. So, anyway, he was super nice to me. Comes over and he's like, hey, I want to run you through some calls and have you do some snapping in front of me later. Like, really giving me, like, thought I had a chance. Like, making me feel like, oh, shit, this guy actually wants to watch me. So he's like, start warming up about this time. So I start warming up. And he either was like, okay, cool, we'll just watch this, or completely forgot about me or was doing something else. Because my warm-up with Coach Woods in the corner of the facility turned into, oh, there's a break in the action. Everybody just turned and started, like, timing me and watching me. And we went for about 30 snaps, and then I was done. So it was like I didn't even get my time. People were just like, oh, he's snapping. We'll watch him real quick. Didn't even snap anything.
What else do you do?
Well, generally there's going to be a coach there that, like, runs you through some sets, gives you some right-left calls. Occasionally they'll actually run, like, twists in front of you and have you, like, when you pick your head up, try and recognize, like, a play that they're trying to run on you. None of that. Absolutely none of it. But it is what it is. What was it like to see
my
your
favorite
board?
Part is when they were like,
yeah, we know.
Hey, why don't you just snap one as hard as you can for us?
I know. Dude, I mean, if it was a piss-missile competition, I could fucking, I mean, I'll roll with the best of them, but, I mean, it's
they asked me to be a slot wide receiver. I'd get in there for some reps. Anything yeah. they say.
What was it like watching your boy, Nick, go to the Chargers in the sixth round?
Yeah, that was awesome. I think he was the first pick of the sixth round, right?
I believe so, yeah.
No, I was talking to him. I'm like, yeah, like, where do you think he'll go? And I think he was kind of back and forth whether he may get drafted or not. Yeah,
mute your mic, dude.
For everybody listening, Kevin is Chef Boyardee tonight. He's making couscous and
quinoa, not couscous. Couscous is better, though.
Okay.
You gotta mix it up, though.
Right.
Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's.
Yeah, no. Nick was – obviously he was excited. I was actually in Florida at the Valspar tournament with some of my buddies. And I was, like, scrolling through my phone, and someone's like, oh, Nick just got drafted. I'm like, what, already? And, yeah, the Chargers gave him a call, so I'm happy for him. I lived with him for the last 4 years. Yeah, I'm happy
for him. You think on an ACT, would he – or Hawk score higher?
That's tough. See, they both have pros and cons. Like, TJ, I think I've mentioned this before. TJ is, like, very, very street smart, but doesn't show it. Like, he would literally – he's also just – he's not lazy at all. He's not a lazy person, but he's always just somehow tired. Like, I would walk into the facility – or the our dorm room – and he'd be sleeping in, like, his pinstripe bowl winter coat with his shoes on, and he'd be wet. I'm like, TJ, like, why don't you just go dry off and go to your bed? And he just was out. You could throw a brick at him, he'd still be asleep.
Drake.
Yeah.
Drake, do you remember how hard those freshman year naps hit coming home from training in the morning?
Yeah, I wanted mine to turn into comas and then just to put me in a box and in the dirt.
Okay. Well, from what I can remember, and your boy wasn't getting much sleep. We've talked about that. The twin size bed in Hillcrest N320, it never felt softer. I mean, that bitch was, and we were hanging meat in our room. We were both a dormitory and a meat locker for Johnson County, our freshman year. I realized that when I just said hanging meat.
He's making himself sound a little bit questionable.
I was talking about in a real sense, like we were actually like a meat locker. It was cold as shit. There was, you know, carcasses hanging from the ceiling, not in the sense of Drake and I are packing in the genitalia area. Right. And, that's to be decided, TBD. But man, those freshman year naps hit hard. Those coats from the Pinstripe Bowl, it had to be so cold or else I would sweat wearing it. Like, those were the nicest coats that we've ever been given.
Yeah, I mean, that game was so cold. Do you remember Coach White's brother, I think, was Drake's favorite coach, was on the other side of the field, and he caught on fire. Remember that? There was smoke on the other side of the field. You guys remember that?
During the Pinstripe game?
You would be the only one that would remember, because we would.
Bro, there's no way we would have missed somebody on fire.
He wasn't like.
I'm guessing.
Dude
was a little too close to one of the heaters or something. Shit started melting.
Yeah, he got too close to the heater, and there was. Do you guys not remember there was like a big like a smoke. There was smoke on the one side of the field, and later found out that Coach White's brother caught on fire.
Did he coach for Boston
that's
College?
That's hilarious.
Yes, and that could be a tall tale, but that's what I heard.
Wow.
And I do remember the smoke, because I was not playing that game, and I was sitting by the heater and almost caught on fire.
Wow. I went to Twitter right before we did this. You probably got the notification that said, any questions for Keith Dunk?
Oh, great.
Because we're about to hit record, and George told me to ask you if you could do me a favor.
Yeah, he took that favor. And I had no idea what he was going to ask. So, yeah, what's the favor, George?
Have you not seen that episode of Boston?
I have. Of his?
Yeah.
With him and Rob.
The t-shirt now.
I saw him with DJ.
It was the most recent one, and I forgot who – it was Rob telling the story. And he was like,
and they were talking about how they talk to people in COD lobbies.
Yeah. And Rob was just like, I usually just ask him if they could do me a favor. And George is like, what's that? And he's like, just shut the fuck
Will.
Up.
Will was like, what's
Will
that?
Said that.
I could definitely guess if that was going that direction.
Yeah. Let's see here. Someone asked who your favorite snapper was and who your favorite holder was.
At the University of Iowa?
Well, I imagine so. I mean, I don't think they're talking about Weddington, bro.
Hey, the Weddington Warriors. We run deep in Weddington. Just won 30 straight. It's a dynasty.
Your high school team is on a 30-win streak?
They just
with a name like Weddington?
The Weddington Warriors. We are the most private public school you'll ever go to.
Explain.
Yeah. So,
is that like a cool way of saying that they embezzle your tuition money, or like,
or like what do you mean? They're investing in Dogecoin with the funds, or what?
It's a way of saying if you don't wear Ralph Lauren / Vineyard Vines / Southern Tide, you don't belong at the school.
So your whole school needs beat up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your entire
school has its own TikTok account.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
Jesus Christ.
We just had the number one running back in the nation. He just early enrolled at Clemson.
What?
Will
Seriously?
Schiffer, look him up. Yeah,
well, I mean, they had to get somebody to go on a 30-game win streak.
He's a dog, yeah.
So your guy from Weddington is replacing ETN.
He is replacing ETN. I mean, I don't know if he's starting right away, but I think he may get some reps. I mean, 5-star, number one, all-purpose back in the nation.
Well, if that's the case, they've already got him projected on like a 2026 draft board or something.
Probably like 2024.
Yeah, 2024 5.
To be honest, I just forgot what year we were in. I don't know.
I don't think you're kidding either, which is the bad part.
I tried to add 4 to whatever we were in, and I just got 2026.
How was your JIT session today?
It was really good.
You all right?
Yeah, tired.
How's the body?
Beat up.
Okay.
Hey, I got a really good question, actually, for Drake. He may like this. Or I guess all of you. I asked Kevin, too, when we were playing golf after I beat him. But would you? So you have to beat one of these people to survive. If you don't, you die. Would you rather wrestle Spencer Lee?
Mm-hmm.
So for points, he doesn't have to
beat him.
You have to beat him, or would you rather fight Ronda Rousey in an MMA fight?
Oh, Ronda.
So here's where we're going to go. I'm going to try and settle this debate. I'm glad you asked the question. I'm going to try and settle this debate once and for all.
Yeah.
So.
Because we used to talk about this, Drake. You remember?
Yeah. I have now done jiu-jitsu with men's and women's jiu-jitsu world champs, an MMA world champ, and a lot of really good people in between.
We get it.
What I can say with 7 months of jiu-jitsu training, there is zero doubt in my mind that I could steamroll Ronda. Zero doubt. None. Doubt ended.
How much do you weigh? 100?
I'm 203.
Okay.
So, going back to the Iowa football conversation where everybody is like, you could or you couldn't, you could or you couldn't. It was a real big round table conversation. With a full 12-week training camp, almost, I won't say almost anybody, but almost any of us would have flatlined with just 12 weeks.
That's a lot of
because 12 weeks of intense training camp turns into actually 24 weeks of theoretical training, which is 6 months. And with that concentrated of training, with professional coaches, with guys the size they were, it is over, and I'm taking the fight against Ronda over the match against Spencer.
But you just stipulated.
Okay, but what about like you? Yeah, yeah. What if you like, you know, you're in the pub and you had a few too many, and you had to bump boggles with Ronda
and get Spencer because all Spencer's. Well, then it's Spencer because all Spencer's going to do is pin you and then you're going to get shot in the head. Ronda's going to slam you, punch you until you're unconscious, and then I guess maybe that's the best way to do it because you get slammed on your head, you get punched in the face till you're unconscious, and you don't see the bullet. Whereas Spencer, he's just going to put you in a cradle and they're going to bullet you while he's holding you. So,
dude.
So walking off the street, which one do you think you have a better chance at?
I think Ronda. It's Ronda.
I think it's Ronda because you get to throw punches.
Yeah, you have a weight difference. And I was in the camp of I'm pretty sure that I would get beat by Ronda. I think I've pulled back a little bit on that, but
oh, you would still get starched, bro. Oh, dude, just because you show up to the podcast without sleeves on does not mean that you can beat Ronda Rousey.
Dude,
I'm not saying that
somebody
whatsoever.
Somebody came into my house and took all of the fucking clothes that I have and left only the fucking cutoffs. It's the wildest thing.
Well, soon enough it's going to be winter there and you're not prepared for that. I'm the one that lives in Phoenix, not you, so you should probably find your sleeves before then and stop thinking that you could beat Ronda Rousey because she would still fuck you up. But if you got 12 weeks of training and you might not go to sleep in the first round.
But if Ronda and Spencer both show up at my house in 6 minutes from now, I have a better chance somehow beating Ronda, then I have a better chance of beating Spencer in
But
points.
Here's the thing. If death doesn't come at the end of this, if it's just your pride, like, oh, man, now I don't feel like a man. Oh, now I'm going to go identify as a woman because it's 2021. I would take the match against Spencer because Spencer is going to double leg you. He's going to make you look stupid. He's going to tie you up, tilt you, put you on your head, laugh at you, call you a bitch. Well, probably not because he's a really respectful guy. But that's what's going to happen because that's what happens in wrestling. You get roughed up, you get pinned, and you get your feelings hurt. You don't it's not just your feelings that get hurt in fighting. And Ronda liked to break people's arms and put people to sleep. So, like, it's a different situation. If you're just walking up off the street, I'm taking the match with Spencer every day because the stipulations are much less damage.
What about Amanda Nunes?
I would never take a fight against her, dog. That is a different type of freight train. That's a grown man. That's a grown man. See, the difference between Ronda and Amanda is significant. And Amanda is incredible in a lot of facets. Her jiu-jitsu is better than mine. Her stand-up is just not even close. It's just unbelievably better than mine. And I'm not sure she's a chick.
She's getting right. Would you rather go up against someone who's an expert in boxing, jiu-jitsu, wrestling, or just like grapple?
What do I think is most effective, or what would I most rather face?
What do you think is most effective? What would you be most intimidated by?
Striking?
No, it's definitely jits because it's so easy in a cage. Jits is king. Like, it's so easy in a cage to get somebody against the cage, right? It takes somebody extremely special like Israel Adesanya who can control distance like he actually has a wand keeping you at distance and spinning circles around you. Most guys can't do that. Most guys, at some point, you will be able to.
General managers ask questions to find the right players, like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Get their back against the fence. You'll be able to get them on the ground. Like, you know, if your game is jiu-jitsu, you will find a way to get somebody on the ground. I mean, wrestling is probably the best background to have, but jiu-jitsu is the best skill because there's all sorts of ways to get to the fight to the ground. And if you're a jiu-jitsu master, and I mean, we've seen what happens. Charles Oliveira is fighting for the 155 belt because he's world-class at jiu-jitsu and everybody's really scared of him. Khabib, just look what Khabib did. I mean, he's combat sambo based, but the difference between combat sambo and jiu-jitsu is small technicalities and striking.
Keith never answered my question about snapper or kicker, so that's whatever.
All right, sorry, Clue. You know, you can't put me in a tough situation with you, Jim Spiewak.
There's three. So you had.
Dude, listen. Okay, so listen. First of all, I'm going to eliminate a name for you. It's between Kluver and Jim, okay? Listen, I can disrespect Kluver. And you can disrespect Kluver, but neither of us are going to disrespect Jim like that.
Cannot disrespect Jim.
Jimmy texted me yesterday.
Yeah, he's an awesome dude and a good snapper.
Way better. Way better dude than me. I'll go head-to-head on the snapping. But
I had a different holder and snapper each year that I played.
Yeah. I did too.
I had Drake's favorite player in Ron Caluzzi, my first.
No, I had no problem with him, dude.
Have I ever told the story? Oh, I don't even know if I should tell it. Oh, man.
Oh, this ought to be good.
I thought that was told. My bad.
About me and Ron?
Oh, no. I was talking about the Michigan game.
Oh, no. We told the story about how Drake almost decapitated him in Kinnick Stadium.
Yeah. You saw that, Keith? You were there for that?
Sitting right next to Ron, and I'm like, okay, so that happened.
And then you had to go kick.
I had to go kick. And you came up to me right before the kick, and that happened. But then the next week, you remember when that guy sent me, like, the death threats?
Yes.
And you were in the facility when I had to come and, like, take it to the police. And you're like, tell him right now to come to the facility. I want to meet him. I want to meet him. tell him to bring guns. I'm ready. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
I was serious, too, because if somebody shows up to hurt one of my teammates, I'd kill him and I'd piss on their still warm body to cool it off.
And it wasn't even like me. Like, he's like, I'm coming to, like, shoot up the university, like some bad stuff.
That was a wild week, dude.
That was a wild week.
Wild week.
Yeah. I remember, yeah, we were at Illinois the next week, and KF's like bodyguard, I guess you could say. I went up to him, and I'm like, yeah, do you think you can figure this out? He goes, yeah, give me a sec. He called, like, the Michigan State of Police, whoever it was, the chief officer of, you know, I don't know the title. But he's like, yeah, let me get it figured out. We went to pregame meal, came out, and he goes, yeah, Keith, you should be getting a text from him apologizing. He lives with his mom, and he's a butcher at the local Hy-Vee and has 8 Facebook accounts. Literally 5 minutes later, I get an apology text. So I'm like, oh, that worked out pretty well.
What?
I'm not
I don't think I've ever heard this story.
Ah, yeah.
Hey, but no, he is a butcher, though, bro.
He is a butcher.
Wait.
He's hanging meat like Drake and I.
Where was he sending you messages
at? Yes.
Was he on, like, Instagram or something, or he texting you?
Facebook Messenger. I still have them. And I still have my police.
So then why did they give him your cell phone number for him to text you?
No. He messaged me back on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's a wild story.
Yeah, it wasn't just like a response after like the game. It was like through the whole week.
Yeah,
like
it was a bunch.
It was not good.
Yeah. And it wasn't the only one, right? There's a couple others that was like, I fucking hate you. Like,
oh, there were others. Yeah, there were a lot of others. I mean, Nebraska, I got some. But, like, Nebraska sent me, like, a handwritten watermarked letter, which is really cool.
Apologizing?
No.
Dude, she was saying, how to frame that.
Yeah. She was, because I said, like, I'm a man of faith after the game, and she's like, you are not a man
of faith. Oh, I remember that. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah, so that's a stream right now, I think. But yeah, that's fun.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Drake was Drake's a good bodyguard to have in that situation.
Yeah, that was also another, like, again, as specialists, we have some time during practice, and I don't know why we haven't been mic'd up yet, because we have phenomenal conversations.
Oh, dude.
Which Iowa teammate would you want in a bar fight?
From all of the years we've played?
From all the years that you played. It cannot be a guy that you have not played with.
I'm thinking Brandon Sheriff.
I was just going to say.
Brandon Sheriff is my number one answer.
Sheriff was the first one that came to mind. Dude, he's 6'5", and him and Tristan are the exact – they're almost the exact same physicality-wise, but Brandon's actually got it in him to be
maniac.
He's a mean somebody.
Dude, he's a maniac.
And Tristan – you know, if he had it his way, he wouldn't hurt a fly. But Brandon, yeah, he doesn't give a fuck, dude. Like, he's a scary human.
Yeah. I mean, you have to take that psycho factor.
You didn't play with him, so who would it be for you?
I didn't play with him. It would have to be – I have 3. Drake, Amani Jones.
Pick Drake?
Just because of his psychotic factor.
Okay. Oh, listen, if he's putting together a roster, I belong on the roster, dickhead. I'm not you.
You are the one guy.
I'm not you.
You're the one guy who would stand at the back of the cage, like the – I think it was Izzy, actually. And he's like, I'm prepared to die. I know that's you. So mentally, you're top two and you're not two, right?
Hey, man, and that's what Keith's saying. If you need a barking dog, you got one.
And okay, this is a bar fight. This isn't like just like a wrestling or like
right,
a cage match. Like, this is like, yeah, there could be some weapons pulled here.
It's a gag.
My other one, he played for Iowa for a year. Never saw the field. Good friend. His name is Willie O'Hara.
Cozy Tank? Line.
Huh?
Cozy Tank?
Yes. She has – go ahead.
No. Just keep going. Willie O'Hara, you said?
Yes, Willie.
So you're telling me that Tristan didn't make your list.
Okay, like he – I'm just thinking of psycho guys.
Okay.
Like,
tell us about Willie.
If I'm going to bar fight, I want someone that would be psycho. Like, flip a switch, I'm ready to kill someone. And I think Imani and both of you have that. Yeah. Because I've seen Imani run down on L5, I think it is, R5. And oh my
God. I watched him run down the lane, okay? He's ready to kill somebody.
I also watched him squat 670, 80 pounds, and that's unreal.
Yeah.
So Willie, I think, well, he wrestled in high school, so that's got that background. But there's a story of Willie, like he was in like a fight or whatever. I want to tell another story, but I don't want to get in trouble. But
we're not snitching on anybody on this podcast. Kluver's already tried that a couple times.
What? Dude, who? I don't remember.
Actually, I'll tell the Willie story, whatever.
I did try to snitch on Nate though. Had to cut that one out of the old Nate Stanley podcast, but it wasn't nothing bad, but it was like, oh, yeah. I'm stupid. But anyway, go ahead.
Nate's a great dude. But yeah, so I think Willie, he was like, it was the day before he was going to transfer and tell the coaches, like, he was entering a transfer portal. And him and a buddy got into, like, a bar fight with, like, 8 other frat dudes. And, like, they won. Those 2 football players, they won. And he, like, came in to tell the coaches he was transferring the next day. Black eye, just, like, bloody everywhere. His, like, arm was, like, just dangling. And he went into, like, Wallace's office or something like that. I don't know the story, like, 100%. He's like, yeah, I think I'm going to enter the transfer portal, blah, blah, blah. And I think it was Brian who, like, a couple doors down saw Willie. He goes, O'Hara, come here real quick. And Willie was, like, just trudging through the halls. He goes, and this was after he said he was transferring. And it's like, what did you do last night? He goes, oh, I think I fell down the stairs or something. Willie's not the most socially smart, but he's strong dude. And, he's like, so you got in a fight, didn't you? He goes, yeah, I got in a fight. He's like, did you win? He's like, yeah, I won. And he's just bloody face, black eye. He had like a dislocated shoulder. So he's the kind of guy that would go in, broken neck, and still be like, punch me in the face.
God damn it.
That story makes me proud, and I hope Willie O'Hara played fullback.
He was a linebacker, but could have played fullback.
Could have definitely been. Was he white?
Yes.
Well, with a name like Willie O'Hara, that was a dumb question. He definitely was getting the boot real soon.
Dude's from Ireland, bro.
And listen, that settles the discussion on frat dudes forever. Iowa frat dudes,
it's off.
Log off. It's off. Iowa frat dudes, log off. Stop thinking about it.
And what's crazy is going back to the whole favorite snapper decision, it's wild that Spiewak was able to do both in college.
That's a great story.
I remember as a young guy, and you know, this is probably in today's age, I love Spiewak, man. And I'm happy that he is getting another year after waiting around 4 years, paying out-of-state tuition, to get 8 games in a COVID year with no fans. He deserves this year. But when you're a young guy, you got to go through a little shit. And if you're a specialist, you got to go through a lot of shit.
A lot.
Because the team gives
it. And if you're a special specialist.
I know who you're talking about.
I do too. Father now. So if you're a specialist, you go through a lot of shit. And part of that is like it's not hazing. It's not initiation, although I did get in trouble for allegations of that in my second year. Turns out the kid was softer than baby shit. But when Spiewak was a freshman.
Still harassment.
But evidently I was still mentally abusing people, I guess, or not.
And it's honestly pretty bullshit that you're not taking these allegations seriously.
No, it's not, because they're fucking horseshit. Spiewak came in as a freshman, and I remember real serious, like dead ass straight face one day in the meeting room. I was like, hey Spiewak, if you weren't playing football, you'd be in a frat, huh? And he was just like, he was straight up like, yeah, probably. And I was, And, like, it was a joke at first. And then because he was so serious, I felt bad. And because I was trying to be a changed person from previous abusive tactics, allegedly.
And you were our leader. You are a leader that year.
Right, right. And so I just quit the conversation and I said, God damn it, it wasn't supposed to be serious. It was supposed to be funny, and then he made it not funny by actually saying that he would be in Delta Tri Delta or whatever if he wasn't in football. Because
Kluver, does your wife hide the emotional scars as well as she does the physical ones of your abuse?
Okay, now we're probably touching some nerves of some listeners. We're not going to go that far.
Just jokes, people. We're just trying to get Kluver tilted here.
For those listening, I told a kid that he needed to run harder during his conditioning reps, or else he was going to miss his times.
Which is a fact.
And which, for one, it didn't do anything because missed the times. And two, that was received on his end as I was bullying him. So it's probably good that he didn't continue in a Division I football program, because I don't think he was cut from that cloth. Anyway.
But he went on to the PGA Tour and he won the British Open.
Hey, and now he's making six figures a year golfing on the tour, man.
And Kluver botched an opportunity to get him on the podcast.
No. I still have his phone number. We text from time to time. And shit, Keith, you were just down watching this past weekend, watching golf, right?
Quail Hollow, Innisbrook. I was at the last two tournaments, yeah.
Are you like – you're like a puck bunny except for it's for professional golfers.
Exactly.
He's a roadie. He's a groupie.
Yeah, you're a PGA groupie.
It just so happened that Quail Hollow is 10 minutes away from where I live. So
just trying to catch a suck off of Dustin Johnson or something. He walks by. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dustin, let me lick your water bottle.
Okay, but golf is the most like amazing sport and probably like one of the hardest for like, amateurs to do.
Yeah, I mean it's a very skilled kind of thing.
So like, let's say you're just a basic athlete, you don't play a sport, you're just like an athletic dude. What would be the hardest sport to be like the best at, you think?
Gymnastics?
In gymnastics, yeah, I mean, you'd look completely foreign out there.
I think
trying to hit a major league fastball, you'd look like an idiot.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, but I think in totality of baseball, like, you could probably throw a bunch of athletic guys out in the outfield and they could run down some fly balls and stuff and look halfway okay.
Whereas, I'm going to have to go baseball or gymnastics, right, because those are the two things that people just absolutely can't do. Like, if you put people up on rings – they just absolutely can't do it.
Gymnastics, for sure.
If you put some random in front of a major league pitcher, the major league pitcher is going to make him look like an absolute asshole 10 times out of 10. But you can put somebody up on a tee box, and they can find out a way to hit a 300-yard driver because they've done it a lot.
I mean,
I don't know, man. You think that, and then you watch James Daniels take a swing at Topgolf. That shit's ugly, man. Some people that's just don't got it.
Our guy JD needs to stick to center.
What do you all think about, like, Formula One race car driving?
Formula One race car driving? I think...
Yeah.
Oof.
I think you hit that first turn and you're automatically tumbling over because you have no idea what's going on.
I mean,
they have training exercises for that.
Yeah, I was about to say, Keith, I saw a video of that. I didn't know that training for Formula One was as intensive as it was. And then I see them strapped into some machine where they're having to, like, hold off insane forces and try and turn the steering wheel where it looks like they're putting hundreds of pounds of pressure to it.
Kevin put his phone in the frying pan. I mean, I don't know why he decided to mix his phone with the turkey sausage he's cooking up for tomorrow's lunch. It would be funny to throw some of those armchair quarterbacks into the actual quarterback position and watch him take a shotgun snap against Ohio State. That would be great.
Awesome.
Tristan Wirfs on the right side or the left side just goes, oops,
What I think would be even better is if the armchair quarterback got behind center with 70,000 screaming at him,
yeah,
and the guys lined up across, and then the defense shows a blitz.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
They fill the gaps, dude. They all out eight blitz like the Madden play, and it's just over. And the guy just dies in Kinnick Stadium and gets buried under the 50-yard line mid-game.
Then you got the guy with a fake avatar and some name with seven digits in it sitting back there behind center like, fuck, I shouldn't have opened my mouth. I should really just go back to my mom's basement like the loser I am.
But I do think that, like, if you – football's tough because there's so many different positions, because you find some big athletic guy who, like, I don't know, used to wrestle or something – and you throw him out there at, like, D-tackle and just tell him to stick his foot in the ground and just hold his ground, maybe he does okay. He doesn't look like much of an asshole as the quarterback does. So, and gymnastics, something like gymnastics is, I mean, what could a normal person even do at all? Like, they could run around on the floor routine.
I would love to see if there is 50% of America that is coordinated enough to just run down the runway, jump on the trampoline, touch the pommel horse, and land on their feet.
I don't.
Or the, would, I guess, is that not the pommel horse?
No. It would be the vault.
The table. I think they call it the table.
The vault.
Vault, whatever.
So 50%, no chance. I think that.
Just touch it, though. Just jump, touch, and land on your feet.
Okay. You don't have to flip upside down to do it? Okay. Maybe 50%, but dude, 70% of America is on their way to diabetes. So it's like, probably not, though. Hey, you don't look good in the leotard, and you're not getting over the vault. And you can't even touch the rings because you didn't work on your single leg vertical.
And all of this being said, make sure you go to TylerKluberFitness.com and sign up for his next challenge, because after about two or maybe three challenges, you might be able to do the Iron Horse.
The Iron Horse. It's the
or the Iron Cross is what they call it. The Iron Cross.
I got another football hot.
No, fuck you, Keith. June okay. Challenge is coming out. It starts on technically May 31st. Sign up is available now. We already have multiple people signed up. Fresh new look. Easiest weight you'll ever lose if you can follow directions. And if you can't follow directions, you're a child. Okay? So that's me giving some tough love. If you can literally follow directions, eat on a schedule, not drill a fucking box of Entenmann's donuts, 8 chocolate frosted. Dude, you can probably lose 10 to 12 pounds because most people have done it. And I've taken a lot of people further than that. It's just about – here's the thing, right? It's vocally, verbally, you say you're ready to make a change. But mentally, are you ready to make a change? And that's it, dude. That's it. And we've had plenty of people. And that's all I'm going to say. TylerKluber.com or hit me in the DMs. Keith, what were you going to say?
Sorry, this is totally unrelated, but I was.
It should be unrelated to Tyler's shameless plug that I actually alley-ooped him for.
Did one of the worst workouts I've ever done in my life, by the way, today.
But nobody cares. So Keith, back to you.
Okay. I was going to say, if you take the average Joe, sorry, Clue.
Okay.
If you take the average Joe and stick him in a position on the football field, the hardest position for him to perform at a high level
corner
would be the kicker position.
Come on, dude. Come on. That is an asinine thing to say, Keith. A fucking asinine thing to say.
I mean, have you kicked a field goal?
No, but I've watched Nick Saban's kickers go about 6 for 12 over the past 14 seasons, and he's got 10 national championships. So that shows how relevant kickers are in the first place. Second of all, if you think that a fucking average Joe can walk out there and play man coverage corner – or zone corner for that man.
I don't think he could.
Exactly. Less people can come out of the stands and play corner than can come out of the stands and kick something.
Have a chance to kick it to the uprights. I'm going to have to agree. I think you might be able to get lucky on the kick. Maybe.
They cannot get it that high. Most people cannot get it that high.
Dude.
You put that 30 yards.
Come on,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, most people, Keith. And nobody can go play man cover corner.
Keith, I'll ride or die for special teams forever, but, bro, you can't get lucky out on an island. You just can't. You can't even put.
We had kids in our program that practiced every single day.
And still could go.
They were on scholarship, and if they would have got put in the game, we would have just walked to the fucking locker room.
Yeah,
dude.
It was over.
So you think we're pulling somebody out of the stands to do it?
Can I was just going
to
say, like, you couldn't even put, like, Josie or Ben on a fucking island out there, and they wouldn't have a chance.
That's fair. I didn't even think of corner. I mainly just thought of linebacker /
alignment. You were being selfish, and you were only thinking about special teams, which is fine because that's how special teams works, dude.
That's how special teams works. But you also, like, Drake, do you think you could kick a 30-yarder? One attempt.
One attempt right now, all the money on the line.
With people rushing.
Probably not.
I could.
With people rushing you.
But guess what?
Than a snap.
Guess what?
I'd probably go like 1 for 10 at 30 yards.
If I'm snapping and kicking, 10 for 10. If it's another snapper, who knows?
Of course.
Now,
are you snapping to yourself?
I'm snapping and then I'm running back and kicking it, yes. And I'm also the holder. you know what would be crazy, Keith, if there was a specialist podcast?
That would be
illegal.
Well, we're going to find out, because guess what? Kicking It with Keith and Kluver coming soon, dude.
Coming very soon.
Change the initials, bro.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys understand that you guys are
kicking
not
Kicking It, K-I-W-K-K?
It and with are not important words. If you didn't learn that in English class, they would not be capitalized in your logo.
The title is Kicking It. Mini subtitle with Keith and Kluver.
Yeah, all right, I'll allow it.
I mean, I hope so.
I think you guys need to change the name because I think it's dog shit.
And also, we're sponsored by
my new website that I have come out with while I'm moving to Des Moines.
I was gonna say.
Oh, we should probably cut this part and start over.
No. I was gonna say the South.
We don't cut
but, the reason you're on this podcast, almost an hour in now,
yeah,
as I take a drink, so respectful to the listeners, is the NFL thing currently not working out. So where does life go from here? What are you doing?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, moving to Des Moines June 1st, and again, I have a passion for kicking / coaching / special teams. So I decided to start up my own kicking program, as you could say. It's called Keith Duncan Kicking. That's the website. You can go on Instagram, Twitter, and see it. Basically, I am doing private lessons, Zoom sessions, and hopefully expanding into more opportunities like our podcast coming up.
True.
Again, it just gives us an opportunity to talk more about special teams and relate it to the just the fans, because I feel like there is a misconception between how difficult it can be, how important it is, and just the little techniques. So it's not only just for kickers / punters / long snappers, but it's also just for fans to listen to. It's a casual podcast, so that'll be fun. But, yeah, if you have a kid or if even you want to come out and kick, go to my website. And
you want Keith Duncan to show you how to kick that 30-yarder. Fucking
there is no age restriction. There is no age restriction.
Dude, so, what happens if you have a bunch of moms that are just coming to hang out with you and learn how to kick and get a little workout in? All of a sudden, you're Keith Duncan booty boot camp.
That wouldn't be a problem either. I'll be in luck.
Yeah, we're going to have to add a package to the website because that comes with special features. But, yes, available. Yeah, podcast is going to be cool. I am going to be Tyler Kluver. Somebody already mentioned it when you tweeted it the other day. Tyler Kluver will be a small part of Keith Duncan Kicking. So Keith, oddly, after being born in Texas and you know he's George Bush's son, and then he moved to North Carolina and somehow made his way to Iowa and then made that kick so he didn't have to transfer after the Michigan game. And now the NFL said, fuck you, too small. And so he's moving to Des Moines. Somehow we're going to end up a couple miles away from each other after all this time. And so the Kluver-Duncan special teams army is going to grow in central Iowa, essentially. And
since Keith and me are forever intertwined because of that one night in Summit. Can I be part of a podcast?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just want to join in and come say what's up.
Yeah, the podcast is going to be – Keith and I have literally been texting back and forth for, like, the last 3 days, just like, hey, we could do this on so many different levels of this. But we basically – the podcast is going to be both fun and, informative, trying to, help fans understand and really give them an inside look on specifically the special teams. But during the season, we're going to do a bunch of stuff try and interview some of the big performers across the country. Maybe we'll get Tory Taylor on the podcast. Anybody hits a game winner, get them on the podcast from all across the country, right? Talk about the mental side of the game, how they prepare, the little stuff that a lot of you don't care about, right? And that's why Drake and Kevin shit on me on this podcast. So what did I do? I went and made a specialist podcast with my specialist friend. So now – you can't be mad when you hear us talk about specialist shit because it's in the name of the podcast, dude. And then, right.
Yeah. And
have to listen to it if I'm going on there to probably talk shit to them.
So. Yeah, no, and that's fine. That's fine.
And, yeah, and that's the thing, too. It's not just, an Iowa thing. And even, the kicking program that I'm doing, it's not just a Des Moines thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But eventually what I want to do is expand through the whole Midwest. But as of now, I'll – travel to almost anywhere in Iowa if obviously it makes sense. But yeah, the podcast it's going to be fun. It's going to be informative. We want to have fans on, I think, as much as possible, just to have fun with them and, have them see their knowledge of special teams. But it's also going to be good for young kickers and punters and even guys in college to listen about, things that we went through, things that we noticed, and obviously other guys that we have come on. So it's going to be fun. Yeah, hopefully we get an episode out sometime early next week.
Yeah, your website, Keith Duncan Kicking, is going to feature some written content as well from both of us and potentially other people as well, kind of putting those thoughts about how to approach the game, pre-game routine, pre-rep routine, practice strategy, all that stuff. We're going to start writing some very short but hopefully informative and helpful blog posts, and hopefully that's kind of going to be directed at young guys that are trying to figure out how do I do this thing? How do I go about the intricacies of this position if I want to take it from the high school level to the college level? So that's going to be pretty cool as well. I am not good at writing, but I'm going to try.
Neither am I. It's business format, so a lot of bold and headers and stuff like that. I've got one up right now. I just wrote one 2 days ago about my routine that I went through pre-kick, and I thought it was pretty good and something that I was coming on as a freshman had no idea about. It was go out and kick or else Drake's going to smash my skull in the side of Kinnick. So that was my routine freshman year, and that changed rapidly.
Clearly it worked.
It worked. It worked. But it didn't work the next year. Shout out Miguel.
Miguel.
You may have to be the first guest on the podcast.
I'm pretty sure Miguel is rubbing some betamethasone, something Medina Spirit chemicals. He was rubbing those on his quads because he made a push on that camp in 2017. Goddamn.
97%. That's unreal.
Stupid. Yeah, man. So if you got little tykes that want to learn to kick the ball, hit us up.
Or if you're just at all.
Or, yeah.
On that note, is this podcast over? Because I want to go eat dinner and I don't want to talk to you idiots anymore.
Winding down, dude. That's all we got. I took questions, but we fucked around for a long time here, so I don't think we need to go any longer. Unless you got anything.
I got a question.
Yeah.
I got a question. Keith, are you going to give me a chance to win my money back before you head out?
Absolutely. I did just shoot a 75 at this local course in Charlotte. The Monroe Country Club, you can look it up. And I got it attested, so I'm ready to go whenever.
Wow.
Was it par 68?
So I played – I don't know if you guys –
You played that from a women's tees.
No, I did not play. I promise you I could
outdrive. Well, he's about the size of the average woman, so that makes sense.
Did you just say you could outdrive me, Keith?
Absolutely, yes.
First of all, don't forget who the fuck you're talking to.
I know exactly who I'm talking to.
Second of all, Keith, grow a couple inches, dude. You swing a 42-inch driver because you're only 49 inches off the ground, okay? So suck my dick and don't come at me unless you actually want to get a long drive competition going, in which case, come see Daddy.
I'll be in Phoenix. I'll come to Phoenix.
Come down. This ball flies further down here.
Jesus.
You're right.
This podcast got aggressive. I do want to mention real quick, some of you may remember Connor Buffelli. He graduated the year before we came in. He just reached out to me. Anybody that's going to be in the Des Moines area, fuck, Keith, we got to get you in on this since you're going to be in Des Moines. The Polk County iClub golf outing.
I'm doing it.
You're doing it?
Yep.
20th, hell 28th. Yeah, let's go. June 28th. So anybody in the Des Moines area, sign up for that, B. And let's have a fucking day on June 28th this summer, huh? All right? Maybe we'll get Bo there with the beer stick. Who knows?
It's actually a lot of fun. It's a good time there. And also, I'm going to shout out Gervais here, too.
Oh, fuck.
Have to. The 27th, the day before, he's doing a rally for Reed fundraiser. Yeah. It's in Davenport, so reach out. I think it's on his social media. You can sign up for it.
And just like that, we made Kluver look like the biggest asshole of all time, yeah. And I loved it.
No, I didn't know what he was going to shout him out for. Absolutely.
What a way to end the podcast.
No, absolutely shout out the boys. There's like a ton. There's a ton of them, like Tristan, Josie.
Nine, yeah.
Yeah, the whole squad. So go and check that out because there's a lot of – I mean, you could just go get a signature from all the Hawks that are going to be there. And you could sell that, whatever you get signed, for like a nice little chunk of change. Or
like
keep it.
A stimulus check.
Yeah, you could get a little Hawkeye stimmy, right? So it is what it is. That's it. Don't do crack, kids. 214. Might have got canceled for this.
One of these days, Kluver finds his sleeves.
No. I've been looking, and they're just... There aren't any fucking clothes left in the house at a sleep. I don't know who came through. It's wild. 214. Hopefully we don't get canceled for this podcast. Please.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo. We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams. Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today. So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram, too.